All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 2. Luke 2, Matthew, Mark, Luke, third book in the New Testament, Luke chapter 2. Are you warmed up and ready to go? Okay, very good. We're smack in the middle of Advent season. I mean, like smack in the middle. And so far, we've talked about the gift of hope. We've talked about the gift of peace. And today, we talk about the gift of joy. If we're probably being honest with ourselves, many people during this season can feel anything but joy. You can feel everything but joy sometimes. Some of us are weighed down by stress, by grief, our struggles, and those things will make joy feel out of reach. It's like you see it, it's there, but just a bit out of reach. Maybe you've been there and you'll smile for the pictures. You go to the parties. You sing the songs like we just sang. You stand here. You do what you're told to do. You show up. But deep inside, you feel that joy is probably meant for everybody else but you. Have you ever felt that way? Yeah, of course. I came here this morning with a word from the Lord. Joy is not a feeling that you feel. Joy is a disposition that we're graced with as we spend time with the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the source of joy. We get it wrong. We think joy is a feeling, and joy is not a feeling. It's something that we set our hearts on when we're with the person Jesus. That's why at the beginning of the service today that I just wanted us to, as best we could, to usher ourselves into the presence of Jesus, because if you're here and you don't feel joy, I want us to have our best opportunity to experience joy today. And that will be in the presence of God Himself. It's not for a select few people. It's not reserved for the ones who have it all together. It's not temporary or dependent on our circumstances. Joy, true, unmistakable, overflowing joy, is a gift from God, and it's a gift that He wants you and me to experience today. Do you believe that? Do you really believe that? It's not some surface level fleeting happiness that I'm talking about. This joy doesn't disappear when the bills are high and the house feels empty and life gets hard. This is a joy that flows straight from the heart of God. So if you've walked in this morning and you feel joyless or dry or stuck, I want to encourage you, God has a gift for you today. And it's a gift that doesn't run out. It doesn't fade. It doesn't depend on what's happening around you. It doesn't depend on how you feel. It's a gift found in Jesus alone, and it's yours to experience it if you want to. And I want us to discover how we can experience the gift of joy, a joy that lasts, a joy that strengthens, a joy that transforms us from the inside out. And I tell you, I need this message just as much as we all do. Would you stand in the honor of reading God's word today? We're going to be in Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 8. We're going to go through 14, but I'm going to pray and I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to just dump all of His joy on us today. How about that? Lord, we need You. I just sense that. I need You today. Holy Spirit, would You just flow like a river? I mean, like a flood. Fall like fire on us today. Well, we need a touch from You. We're needy people. I'm so needy. Lord, I just need You to hold the hand of Your child and guide us through this message today. And Lord, I would speak under Your anointing and Your power, and that we would all receive a fresh word from the Word. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Go past our own understanding and right straight to the heart. as only the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, can do. We trust you now in this moment. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, here we go. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8, going through 14. That night, there were shepherds staying in fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded all of them. And these shepherds were terrified. But the angel reassured them, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Now, that's an important statement that he makes to them. Don't be afraid. "I bring you good news that will bring great," what's the word? "Joy to" who? "All people. The Savior," yes, "the Messiah, the one you've been waiting for, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, as been prophesied. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." In other words, he's like, you're going to go find him. This is where you're going to find him. So he's telling him to go. "Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others," if he needed help, "the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased.'" God bless the reading of his word. You can be seated. If you're taking notes today in your worship guide, joy is God's gift to a hurting world. That's number one. It's God's gift to a hurting world. Joy is a gift from God to a hurting world. Isaiah 35:10 says this. This is a prophecy about this moment. Okay, I want to read to you a prophecy from Isaiah 35:10. Says, those who have been ransomed by the Lord will return, and they will enter Jerusalem singing, crowned with everlasting joy. Sorrow and mourning will disappear, and they will be filled with joy and gladness. Now, Isaiah's words in this prophecy came to a people who knew what it felt like to be weary. They were broken, they were displaced, and they were carrying the weight of exile in this moment when Isaiah brought this word. Exile wasn't just a physical experience. They were exiled out of the land that God had promised them at this time. But it wasn't just a physical exile. It represented a spiritual disconnection from God and the life that was intended for them and for you and I. And boy, they were sorrowful people. They were broken and hurting people. People that we can relate to. They were hurting and in bondage, you could say. But in the middle of this despair, in the middle of this brokenness, in the middle of sorrow, Isaiah gives them a promise and a vision of a future that is full of joy. And he says, the ransom of the Lord shall return. Now, I want you to look at the word ransom. That's a powerful word, ransomed. It means that God is buying back his people. Ransom means to buy back. So God is buying back and he's rescuing his people from captivity and bringing them home. That's what it means. See, this is good news for us because they had no buyback power. They had no way to get back to what God had promised them. They had no buy power on their own. They had no negotiation chips left. They had no way home. These people were hopeless and in despair. And here's the interesting thing. It also said, as they return, when God does this miraculous thing, when he brings his people to himself, it will not be in shame and sadness. Did you see? They won't come with their chins down. They won't be coming back in to the promise of God all sad and gloom. Isaiah says they'll come singing gladness with everlasting joy. Did you catch that? I want you to think about that. See, this isn't a joy that lasts for a moment and then fades away. Can't be. It says that it was a joy that crowned their heads. That was the word that it used. And a crown on the head was a symbol of victory and honor. And it lasts forever. It was a joy that overwhelms and overtakes them so much so that it said that sorrow and sighing have no choice but to flee. Can you imagine? Experiencing a joy so overwhelming that whatever sorrow and sadness that you've experienced or that you're experiencing now, there's no room for it. There's no room for it to exist with the joy that God has promised. Now, this promise, that was prophesied in Isaiah, makes its way all the way down to the pike to the Christmas story, because this prophecy was also intended for you and me. When the angels appeared to the shepherds in Luke 2:10, what was their message? It says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy, cause all great joy for all people. All people. All people means all people. Last I checked. All people today in the town of David. This prophecy is coming true. A Savior has been born to you and me. That's us. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Now, the shepherds weren't kings. They were ordinary, hardworking, probably weary people living under Roman oppression at the time. The shepherds were the low end of the totem pole. Have you ever noticed that that's how God works? Every time in God's economy, he always uses the least likely people to do the most extraordinary things. And guess what? He doesn't come when we would expect. He always comes at the unexpected time to do the things to do God. That's God. That's the way God works. So if you think there's no room for God to work in your ordinary life, think again, because you're the very one that God would choose to work and do his miracles through. You're the very one. Now, here they are, the shepherds, low end of the totem pole in this society. And yet the angel appeared to them, and the angel declared joy because God had stepped into the story. Through Jesus, he just decides, I'm going to step in now. I'm going to step in. And heaven touched down on earth. Boom. Could you just imagine when Jesus is born? And Jesus Christ, the promise of everlasting joy, began to unfold for all of us. For all of us. Just as Isaiah spoke to a people in exile, the angel spoke to a people in darkness. Joy has come. Joy has come. Joy has come. Joy is here. God is now with you. He's now with you. And here's the reality. The world is still hurting. It's still hurting. We see broken families. We see financial struggles, sickness, grief, and conflict. They're all around us. We have to experience those things because of the sin in the world. We know what it means to be weary and broken and burdened. We know what that feels like. For some Christians, this Christmas season just simply amplifies the hurt. It just reminds us of what's been lost and what's still missing. But the good news is, the joy that Isaiah promised and the joy that the angels proclaimed is not rooted in our perfect circumstances. It's not found under the tree. It's not found in our perfectly decorated homes or in those moments when everything's going just right. When it's going right, I got the joy down in my soul. When all the relationships are good, I got the joy, joy, joy going on. We strut around in the joy, right? Those things are nice, but are they lasting? No. Not for me and not for you, not for anybody. The joy of God is a gift that transcends our circumstances. Why? Because it's rooted in his presence. Joy is right there in his presence. It's rooted in his presence. The message of Christmas is Emmanuel, God with us. God is with us. And God, his joy, his hope, his peace, his love is with us. And when God is with us, I'm telling you, no sorrow is too deep, no exile is too far, and no darkness is too heavy for his joy not to break through. C.S. Lewis once wrote this. He said, joy is the serious business of heaven. It's the serious business of heaven. True joy isn't a passing emotion. It's not a fleeting happiness that comes and goes like the weather. True joy is when heaven touches earth and when God steps into our brokenness and declares, I am with you. Have you ever been just in a really bad place and either in your private personal time or when you come to the house of the Lord and you get into the presence of God and your attitude changes? Has that ever happened to you? There you go, including today. Including today for your pastor. There's something about the presence of God because that's where the source really is. That's where it really is. The birth of Jesus is proof. That's proof that God keeps his promises. It will never let you down. It's proof that joy isn't just an idea, it's a person. It's a person. Jesus Christ came to ransom us, to rescue us from sin and darkness and death, and to bring us into the joy of his presence forever. Not only is joy a gift to a hurting world, but number two, joy is rooted in the presence of Jesus. It's rooted in the presence of Jesus. John 15:9 says, I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love, and when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey in my Father's commandments and remain in his love. So we're all loving together. And I have told you these things. Look at this. Look what he says here. He says, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes. And then he says this. He doubles down. Your joy will what? Interesting word the Holy Spirit chose to use there, isn't it? My joy will overflow. If you remain in me as I remain in my Father, I'm connected to him. If you stay connected to me, if you remain in me, you're going to experience joy. And not just joy, overflowing, overwhelming joy. Double it down. I want to paint a picture for you. Imagine a branch that's been snapped off a tree. Strong wind came, storm came, you got a branch that's falls in the yard, let's just say. For a few days, it looks fine, except it's just not a part of the tree anymore. But the branch looks healthy. The leaves are still typically green. And if there's a bud or a flower on it, it might hang on for a while. But give it a day or two, and what starts to happen to that branch? It starts to wither. It starts to die. The flowers shrivel up. Why? Because it's been disconnected from the source. That's exactly what Jesus is talking about in John 15. When he says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Now, the word remain or abide is key there. That's what's key. See, some of us, we just skirt around it all week long, and then we try to come in on Sunday. Or we just touch it 15 minutes, 20 minutes here, and then we go on about, and we don't even think anything else about our relationship with the Lord or in the Word or in prayer or in worship. We just come out, boom, got my little dab. In this case, a little dab won't do you. It's when you make a choice, I'm gonna get connected and I'm gonna be there. When I'm driving, I'm gonna make sure that I'm going to fix my eyes. I'm gonna talk to the Lord when I drive. It's making those kinds of decisions. It's when I get up in the morning, I'm gonna choose to spend my time wisely, maybe with the Lord. Whenever it's best for you, might be before you go to bed. I'm going to set aside time before I go to bed, before I lay my head down at night. I'm gonna spend time with the Lord. I'm gonna spend some concentrated time every day. I'm gonna put myself in, and you just build your life around. It's building your life around the person of Jesus and what he came to do, and abiding there, abiding, staying close. And when we stay connected to Jesus, see, his joy flows through us. It's promised that it would. It's promised that it would. Promised. See, what's incredible is Jesus isn't offering us a temporary surface level happiness. He's talking about his joy that's deep and lasting and unshakable, a joy that doesn't depend on how good or how bad life feels in the moment. See, that's where we've got to change our perspective. I love the way that Jesus says this, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. Have you ever thought about what that means? That my joy may be complete? It means nothing missing. Nothing lacking. It's whole. It's real. Most of the joy we experience in this world feels incomplete, doesn't it? It's like trying to fill a leaky bucket. I got joy in my bucket. I got joy in my bucket. Eliza, Eliza, got joy in my bucket. It just came to me. Must be inspired. But joy, it's like trying to fill a leaky bucket. You get a promotion. You're happy for a while. That's nice, isn't it? And then the stress creeps back in of the new promotion you got. You go on vacation and it's great for a while you're there, right? But then you come home and then you get back into, oh, it's the same world that I left. Oh, I wish I could stay on vacation. Even the good things, family and friendships, your accomplishments, the things that you do that bring you joy. Those moments that the Lord gives us, he graces us with. We're not promised those, by the way, nor do we deserve them. Did you know that? Oh, we strive for it, don't we? We'll maneuver to get those moments. And they always leave us longing for more. It's almost like we're trying to puddle jump from one good thing to the next good thing to the next good thing to just so that we can remain joyful. You ever felt that way? You know what I'm saying? But Jesus is my joy, not just any joy, his joy. He's like my joy. It's the kind of joy that comes from being in relationship with the Father. And it's a joy so complete that it overflows. And the incredible part is that Jesus wants us. He wants us. He wants you to share in that joy. So we don't have to chase it. See, that's the thing. We chase happiness, but we don't have to chase joy. We don't have to. It's something that he gives away freely when we abide with him. When we stay with him, see, he gives it freely. We don't have to strive for it. We don't have to work for it. You don't have to manipulate and maneuver for the joy that Jesus gives. He gives it freely. He lavishes. It's a gift he gives. It's a gift that he died to give you and me. It's not a distant hope. It's a present reality because Jesus dwells in us. He's in us. David says it this way, Psalm 16:11. He says, in your presence, there is fullness of joy. I'm telling you, if there's anybody that we could probably all relate to at some point on their journey, it'd be David, right? Boy, that boy was a roller coaster. And he wrote of his emotions. He wrote out of his brokenness and his hurt and his joy and his triumphs, his victories, all the things that we would experience, He wrote about it. We can relate. God knew we'd need somebody that we could relate to. And he says, in your presence, there's fullness of joy. Not partial joy, not temporary joy. There's a fullness of joy. When we draw near to Jesus and we abide in him, his joy becomes our joy and it's complete. There was a little boy who was scared of thunderstorms. And whenever the thunder would rumble, he'd cry out for his dad. One night during a particular storm, his dad came in the room and sat down next to his bed and just put his hand on the boy's back. The storm didn't stop. The thunder kept going. The lightning kept flashing. But the boy calmed down and fell asleep. Because his father was with him. The storm didn't go away, but the presence of his father made all the difference. You get it? That's the same way it is with us. That's the presence. That's what the presence of Jesus does for us. That's why it's so important. Listen to me. That's why it's so important when we come here. It's not just about checking off a box and singing some songs that you may or may not like. In fact, it really doesn't matter if you do or don't. What matters is if you come in with your heart and your mind set to enter into the presence of God, because that's where the healing happens. That's where the freedom happens. That's where the joy happens. That's where it happens. And you won't care what song you're singing. You won't care what instrument's playing. You won't care who's leading it. You'll be just you and Jesus, and you'll just have it overwhelming. That's the power of the presence of God. When enter in, drop the pride, enter in. It's okay. The presence of Jesus changes everything. Even when the thunder is rumbling in our lives and the lightning is flashing, we have the sickness and the stress and the grief and the uncertainty. We can have joy because Jesus is with us and we can get into his presence. We can abide with him. We can do that, and his joy becomes our anchor. It becomes our peace. It becomes our hope. It becomes our strength. Number three, joy is for all people. It's for all people. We heard that. We heard the angel when it said to the shepherds, it's for everybody. We heard it, Luke 2:10. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Dark night in Bethlehem, ordinary shepherds watching over the flock, tired, probably feeling forgotten. Everybody else is in their warm beds probably. Except Mary and Joseph, and they were in the stable having a baby. But here they were, overlooked by society. Suddenly, heaven breaks open, an angel declares, fear not, I bring you good news. And the message didn't come to a king or a scholar. It didn't arrive in the courts of the powerful temples or a religious elite. God chose lowly shepherds, ordinary people, to deliver the greatest news in human history. And the truth is that good news of great joy is for all people, not just special people, not for the perfect, not for those who have it all together. The joy of Jesus is for everyone. God's joy, by the way, somebody needs to hear this, God's joy does not play favorites. Now, I want to write that down, because there's going to be a time when Satan whispers into your ear, God's giving them a little, you know, he's helping them out a little bit. Where's your God? Where's your God now? But he's helping them out a little bit. Why isn't it for you? See, humans, look, we like to play favorites. We pick and we choose who we think deserves our time and energy and affection. But God doesn't operate the way we operate. When the angel said, for all the people, he meant everyone. He meant the rich and the poor. He meant the educated and the uneducated. He meant the sinner and the saint. He meant the outcast and the insider. He meant the broken and the whole. The joy of Jesus isn't reserved for a select few. It's for the single mother working two jobs. It's for the addict searching for freedom. It's for the wealthy businessman searching for meaning. It's for the teenager wrestling with their purpose. The joy of Jesus is for everybody. God's joy has no borders. And it'll break through every wall, it'll cross every barrier, and it'll reach every soul. No matter your background, no matter your mistakes, praise God. And no matter where you've been or what you've done, the joy of Jesus is for you. It's for all. And number four, it endures all circumstances. Joy endures all circumstances. It says, I bring you good news of great joy. Joy didn't come in a change of circumstances. The angel didn't say to the shepherds, I bring you great joy because your situation just got better, shepherds. You've been taken off shepherd duty. Feel the joy. That's not what the angel said. The joy was the news. The joy was in the news itself. The Savior has been born today. That's where the joy is. That's what Advent means. The shepherds were still shepherds. They were still cold and out in the fields. Could you imagine being visited by that angel first? He's like, don't be scared. And probably once they calmed down from that and they were finally able just to, you know, okay. And then there was the host that joined them. This is a crowd, and there's a crowd that gathered right there. So could you imagine experiencing that, knowing that you're in the presence, in holy presence there, and then all of a sudden, gone. I bet that cold got real cold real quick. You know what I'm saying? It's like they had an experience one moment, and it was gone. They had been given instructions, right? So then they had to make a decision. They were still shepherds. Their circumstance had not changed. Just because they had been visited by the host. Their circumstance had not changed. They were still out on the fields. It was still cold. They still had stinky sheep that they had to lead. But somehow they had to put that aside and obey what they had been told and find their way into town to find Jesus. They'd heard the good news and they were filled with joy because the Savior had come. True joy doesn't come from our circumstances. It comes from knowing Jesus. And you might still be in that lonely, dark field. But the joy of the Lord is greater than your situation. The joy of the Lord is greater than your status. The joy of the Lord is greater than how you feel. And you may have been in a place where you've been in close proximity. And now all of a sudden you don't feel that anymore and you kind of feel out on the cold alone. It's joy isn't gone. It's not gone. It's not gone. A lot of us treat joy like it's circumstantial. Like it's tied to things going just right. And we mistake joy for happiness. That's easy to do, and we'll interchange the words, right? Here's how I want you to think of it. I don't want you to ever forget this. Happiness is like a thermometer. It changes depending on the weather around you. It's like a thermometer. Happiness is like a thermometer. Joy is like a thermostat. it sets the atmosphere because it's rooted in Jesus. It's like you set the thermostat, don't you? You set it on joy. It's not a thermometer. It's a thermostat. It determines what happens around you. You see the difference? God didn't send Jesus to give you temporary relief. Sometimes we think he did, but he did not. He didn't send him to give you temporary relief. He sent him to give you everlasting joy. It's eternal because it's rooted in an eternal Savior. That's how it's eternal. It's everlasting joy. Now, the first words that came out of the angel's mouth were what? Fear not. Fear not. Why? Why did he say that? Because the shepherds were afraid. They were afraid. You would be too. The sudden presence of God kind of terrified them. And you know, and I'd like to think probably too, if the presence of God fell, I mean, in a miraculous way like he did with the shepherd, we'd probably be a little scared too. We'd probably be like, wait, what? It'd probably take us just a hot second. But he says, fear not, for I bring you good news. Now I want you to know today, fear and joy cannot coexist. Fear and joy don't coexist. Fear grips us, it paralyzes us, and it tells us lies about ourselves and God. Fear is meant to isolate. Fear is meant to turn our attention away from God. But the joy of Jesus interrupts fear with truth. It interrupts fear with the truth of the gospel. See, fear says you're not enough. Joy says Jesus is more than enough. You get that? Fear says you're too broken. Joy says the Savior has come to heal you. Fear says you're alone. But joy says God is with you, Emmanuel. And when God's joy shows up, fear has to bow. Yes? When the light of the Savior shines, darkness flees. Because fear cannot stand in the presence of the good news of Jesus Christ. James 1:2, and I'll end with this. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Joy is the business of heaven. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. And you know, if you make the decision, I'm going to let it grow, you know what you're saying? It's okay for me to be tested. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. Joy is a gift from God to a hurting world. It's rooted in the presence of Jesus. It's for all people, and it endures all circumstances.